These places represent some of the toughest foreign policy challenges on our agenda.
The U.S. Secretary of State singling out atrocious nations. It's Wednesday, the 14th of July, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, Taliban fighters continue to make gains in Afghanistan. One group of Afghans is pleading with the United States for their own safety. A new warning to the makers of one U.S. COVID vaccine. A lockdown extension in part of Australia. And your remote control may soon be outdated. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The U.S. State Department issued a supply chain business advisory related to China's Xinjiang province Tuesday, warning of potential risk related to forced labor and human rights abuses. The State Department said in a statement, given the severity and extent of these abuses, businesses and individuals that do not exit supply chains, ventures, and/or investments connected to Xinjiang could run a high risk of violating U.S. law. That comes one day after Secretary of State Antony Blinken called out genocide and atrocities happening in six countries,
including Burma, Ethiopia, China, and Syria. These places represent some of the toughest foreign policy challenges on our agenda, and we'll keep working toward resolutions that reflect our commitment to human rights and democratic values. We'll use all of the tools at our disposal, including diplomacy, foreign assistance, investigations and fact-finding missions, financial tools and engagements, reports like this one, which raise awareness and allow us to generate coordinated international pressure and response in a whole-of-government approach to preventing and mitigating atrocities around the globe.
In January, Blinken affirmed that China was committing genocide and crimes against humanity against Uyghurs in the Xinjiang region. The State Department continues to restrict visas for Chinese officials believed to be responsible for detaining or abusing Muslim minorities. On Tuesday, China's foreign ministry described the report as the product of some sick people who want to give others a prescription. A spokesman said the report is just a piece of waste paper. The report slanders the Chinese government, he said. Accusing it of committing genocide is the biggest lie of this century. Find out more about this story at voanews.com and our many digital platforms. The top U.S. general in Afghanistan stepped down from his post on Monday as Taliban fighters continue to make gains across the war-torn country. Ayaz Ghul in Islamabad, Pakistan, tells International Edition Steve Miller that the Taliban now have control of more than 200 of Afghanistan's districts.
Well, the major concern among countries that neighbor Afghanistan and regional countries is that with the withdrawal of the American and NATO forces, there's going to be some kind of a security vacuum that will be left behind by international forces. And because the conflict is still going on, this will encourage terrorist groups like affiliates of the Islamic State who are operating in the country and carrying out regular attacks. So the fear is that that security vacuum will allow them to strengthen their positions, create more bases, and ultimately target launch attacks against their respective targets in neighboring countries. And that is why we see that apparently a collective effort is in play by all the regional countries led by China, Russia, Pakistan, and Iran to really press these warring sides in Afghanistan, the Taliban, and the Afghan government to get back to the negotiating table and work out some kind of a peace arrangement so that the country does not descend again into a full-fledged civil war.
Has there been any reaction, whether within Afghanistan or throughout the region, about General Austin Scott Miller relinquishing control to the forces in Afghanistan to U.S. Central Commander Chief General Frank McKenzie on Monday, which, you know, for the most part, symbolically ends the troop pullout?
Just as we are talking, we see some Afghan diplomats are really upset at whatever is happening or has been happening over the last few days with the United States announcing that most of the troops have already left Afghanistan. And now with this symbolic ceremony, you know, it was basically marking the end of this long U.S. mission has added really more fears among Afghans, especially the government in Afghanistan, that they will be now on their own. We know that President Biden has clearly stated that the mission in Afghanistan was to bring Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden to justice, and that that mission has been achieved, and there was no nation-building commitment. So that's why this mission has to end, and it is obviously now almost it has ended.
Ayaz, over the weekend, the Taliban made the claim that they control 85% or more of the country. Now, that is a claim that is disputed by the Afghan government. But according to some reporting, it does appear as if the Taliban does control a little over 200 of the some 400 plus districts. So what can you tell us about the lens in which to view these information and data with?
Well, if you go by the reports and Taliban claims, obviously it's like nearly half of the 407 districts of Afghanistan are now under the Taliban control. And if you look at the reported estimates, most of the Afghan population is actually located in these districts. And why is it so? Because Helmand province in the south of the country is the largest in size of all the provinces. And almost 95% of that province is controlled by the Taliban. And similarly, other large provinces in the south are where Taliban control most of the districts.
In terms of the types of territory that they control, it's my understanding that they also control some swaths of border area that are now outside the purview of the Afghan government.
That's a very significant blow that they have dealt to the Afghan government, that they now control all the trade routes or border crossings with Turkmenistan, Iran, Tajikistan, and even China. There's a small border town on the Chinese border. The only border areas which they have not fully controlled or not controlling currently are those with border Pakistan, all the provinces that border Pakistan. It means that if they're controlling in and out in with Central Asian states, with Iran, that means all the revenues that Afghanistan is collecting through trade with these countries are now basically controlled by the Taliban.
Reporter Ayaz Ghul in Islamabad speaking with VOA Steve Miller. We are very happy you've chosen to join us on VOA Asia. Afghan interpreters were invaluable to American troops during two decades of war. Now that U.S. forces are pulling out, Afghans who aided Americans fear for their lives. As the U.S. government processes thousands of visa applications to allow them to emigrate, VOA's Carolyn Prasuti has the exclusive story of two former interpreters who say they are in grave danger.
Haji could be here, or he could be here, or here. He moves from city to city for safety from the Taliban. For 11 years, he worked as an interpreter for U.S. Special Forces, braving firefights across Afghanistan, as he told VOA via Skype.
In local province, in Kabul, a lot of these places, Nuristan, Kunar, Nangarhar province.
Haji, the name we use to protect his identity, has U.S. awards for his shrapnel wounds and for saving the lives of two Army captains.
They saved me, I saved them. Because we are teammates.
In 2010, the Taliban kidnapped Haji's 9-year-old son because of his job and asked for ransom.
They know I'm working with the American forces, and they are infidel, and you are also infidel because you are working with them and you providing all kind of help to them.
The Afghan police rescued his son a few weeks later in a gun battle with his kidnappers. He says they killed an older son a few months ago. Now Haji is trying to save his own life after cell phone threats from the Taliban.
They tell me they know my place, where I'm staying, and they were coming after me.
Haji applied for a special immigrant visa, an SIV, more than 3 years ago. The embassy told him processing is delayed. President Biden said this about interpreters like Haji.
There is a home for you in the United States, if you so choose. And we will stand with you just as you stood with us.
But the process is so complicated.
Ismail Khan came to the United States on an SIV 7 years ago. He was an interpreter alongside Haji, whom he nicknamed GPS when he spoke to VOA on Skype.
He knew where to go, what route to take, what would be the easiest, where are possible places for them to ambush us to make sure that they are alert. He tried everything to make sure that his team survive and be successful.
But Khan worries for his former colleague.
They are after him. He's going to get killed if he doesn't get out.
Those who helped the Americans often protest in Afghanistan for safe passage out. Since January, the Biden administration has approved 2,500 special visas for Afghans who assisted the military, and 1,000, like Khan, have settled in the U.S. But there are many still there, including an interpreter we will call James.
And they're about to take over.
James has been denied the special visa because he cannot provide paperwork proof of his employment.
It's really scary. It's really scary because brutal Taliban, they're never forgive us.
James told VOA that fears for his safety and that of his family keep him awake at night. And like Haji, he worries what will happen after the complete withdrawal of U.S. troops on August 31st. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News.
This is VOA Asia. As we have discussed earlier, Taliban attacks have significantly increased, and the group is gaining ground in some rural areas across the country. But thousands of locals in northern Afghanistan are joining the Afghan military in fighting the Taliban in that region. VOA's Abdul Basir Ilgur has more from northern Afghanistan's Jowzjan province.
Clashes between the Afghan National Security Forces and the Taliban continue around northern Afghanistan's Jowzjan province. Local authorities say the fighting is within 30 kilometers of Jowzjan's capital, city of Sherbagan, which houses over half of the province's population. Local militia forces have joined the Afghan military to defend their region against the Taliban.
These Uzbeks are facing the Taliban, and our people should not worry. We will drive the enemy out of the village soon.
While the Taliban continue to press hard in rural areas, local Afghan National Army commanders in Sherbagan City say that the Taliban have taken casualties in recent days and assure the locals that they will defend the region.
The Afghan people need to know that the military will sacrifice their blood and not hand over ground to the enemy.
Meanwhile, city residents took to the streets in support of the military and say that they will take part in the fighting if the government allows it.
We will uphold the rule of law and territorial integrity, and we will stand by our soldiers and protect them.
Everyone, young and old, depends on us to defend our country. We support our brothers. We will not allow looters to loot our property.
The local government says it is working on a plan to send volunteers to the front.
We thank and support those who have united to defend Afghanistan.
The Taliban had not yet commented on the clashes in the outskirts of Sherbagan. For Abdul Basir Ilgur in Sherbagan, Afghanistan, Miguel Amaya, VOA News.
Now on VOA Asia, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is adding a new warning to Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine because of a link to a rare neurological condition. The Federal Oversight Agency issued a statement Monday saying it had received preliminary reports of 100 people who developed Guillain-Barré syndrome after receiving a single-shot vaccine. According to the FDA, Guillain-Barré syndrome occurs when the immune system damages nerve cells, causing muscle weakness and occasional paralysis. Between 3,000 and 6,000 people are diagnosed each year with the condition in the United States. Australian government officials Tuesday announced added financial support for businesses and households as Sydney appears increasingly likely to enter a fourth week of lockdown due to coronavirus clusters. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the Delta variant in Sydney, which is thought to be more contagious than the original virus, as well as other variants, had escalated the pandemic danger. Thank you for joining us. Our thanks to Service Chief Diane Gao and our VOA Asia team, Chris Cascayo, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Heibels, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman. Please watch out, stay safe, and enjoy the day ahead.